Howdy, friends. Craig here. Can you believe that? Can you hear that? The music? There's music. It's the cast of Fistful of Credits. Guys, look, you guys are later in the show. You're not going to turn the music down, are you? You're not going to wait. All right, do your thing.
Guys, we have something coming over the HoloNet. Looks like Third Floor Wars is doing a special for their 100th episode. And wants us to say a few words.
Really?
I know, it's pretty cool, right?
No, I meant, really? It's reached 100 episodes? How? It's nothing but a bunch of scruffy-looking nerf herders and moof milkers droning on and on like protocol droids.
Oh, Professor Ricks, you're maybe being a little unfair here. Sure, that Craig fella may be Bantha Poodoo as a host, but I like that Ray fella, real class act. And all the guests have been fun and informative. Besides, 100 episodes is really something.
Indeed. In fact, by my calculations, Third Floor Wars has 91 more episodes than the Star Wars saga.
Those numbers may not lie, Klinka, but experience tells me quality trumps quantity every time. Even those Star Wars prequel episodes were better than any episode of the Third Floor Wars.
Even though I'm continuously surprised when we agree, my processors tell me you are correct.
Stow it, boys. I find your lack of faith disturbing. Sure, it's a bit early to judge, but our own story is shaping up to be a fun, pulpy tale filled with swashbuckling action, organic character development, and satisfying revelations involving the Force. You can't say the same about the prequels.
You're right, Marshall. I can't say the same about the prequels.
From the cast of A Fistful of Credits, congratulations, Third Floor Wars, on 100 episodes. Here's to 100 more. And
May the Force be with you.
Playing a tabletop strategy game allows you to unplug and test your skills against friends. Every week, Third Floor Wars delivers useful strategies, discussions, battle reports, and reviews to tabletop games like Malifaux. If you want to get better at the games you already play, or discover the games other people are playing, you are in the right place. Craig and Ray welcome you to the Third Floor and the Tabletop Talk Broadcast.
Wow, 100 episodes. That's a lot. I want to take a minute to reflect on this milestone. We're going to start with my good friend Cody Hyatt from Swamp Fiends turning the mic around and interviewing me. He and Matt Overton collected a pile of questions from you, the listeners. We had a lot of fun recording it. Like often happens, the interview breaks into just Cody and me chatting about games, movies, or whatever comes up. He's a smart dude, a good friend, and I always enjoy talking with him. The segment after that, I'm going to do some call-outs and some thanks for the people and the supporters that got us here. And then we'll finish off the episode with some of the best bloopers and outtakes from the last 100 episodes. Okay, sit back and listen to Cody and I chat while we get the questions you submitted answered. Don't miss the end of the interview for a cool surprise.
I'm trying to picture your voice. One second. Hey everyone, Cody here on the Third Floor. Today my guest is host of the Tabletop Talk podcast and manager of the USFT Malifaux tournament circuit. You may recognize him. He's been on the podcast a few times.
So people listening, you can't. Cody and I are on video while we do this, and I've been quietly laughing my ass off while you did that intro. Oh boy, that's funny. Sorry, Cody, I messed up.
My guest, say hello to my guest, Craig Shippen.
It's really great to be on the show, Cody.
Hey, thanks for coming on, dude, to my podcast, not yours. So today is your 111th birthday. And we got some interview questions for you, sent in by the lovely Floorheads. All kinds of different questions, serious, silly.
Now, the term Floorheads is what you coined.
Yeah.
And it stuck.
Yeah, it was just a mouth flub. But that's funny.
What people that listen to Swamp Fiends, what are they called?
Probably fiends, right? That makes sense.
Yeah, I like it. That works.
Gups. Gups is like a meme in our Discord.
Oh, is it? Why. Okay.
So maybe a little.
All right.
Little
so what can I tell you, Cody, that that everybody wants to know?
Yeah. Okay. So the first question here is from Nick Way. And I think it's a pretty good one to start us off. He asks, what was your intention in doing the podcast? Like, what were you thinking to begin with? And I guess, like, what were your expectations when you started it?
So it didn't start off. None of this started with the podcast. And when Ray and I, what started Third Floor Wars is Ray and I were frustrated with the battle reports that were being put out for Malifaux. Ray comes from a TV background as a producer. I would just consume battle reports when I was, you know, getting into Malifaux and playing Malifaux. And I just had some ideas. I thought that there were certain things that could be done to make a battle report really good and more enjoyable for the viewer. Ray had the skill set to make it happen. So we kind of partnered up and we did start off just with the YouTube channel. So that's kind of how Third Floor Wars started. From there, I'd always had the idea of the USFT in the back of my head. So USFT followed soon afterwards from that. And then, God, I'm trying to remember, somebody was bugging me that we were putting out videos, the spotlights, right? So there were like 15-minute videos on each master. And I was putting those videos out and I was trying to, the reason I was doing it on videos is because there was other podcasts that were, you know, doing it in podcast form. And I had people reaching out to me saying, hey, I don't really watch YouTube. Can you just put it on the podcast? So the first 5-6 episodes of Tabletop Talk is literally the audio from those videos because people just wanted them as that. I quickly realized that it would take 20-30 hours to make a video and it would take a tenth of that to make a podcast. So for kicks and giggles, I just started doing episodes on it. So to get back to Nick's question, my intention has always been to create content. And the podcast started off as an afterthought, but it is by far now, I think, the biggest thing that we put out.
Mm-hmm. So Jan Animus's question sort of relates to that. He asks, how do you get the energy to keep doing what you've been doing for the community this long? And I guess energy is probably not the right word, you know, because, you know, the obvious question is like Coke or whatever they got Trump dosed up on to do those 5 rallies a day. But so I guess maybe motivation is a better word. Where do you find that?
It's been fun, Cody, finding my voice. I did not know that I liked being a content creator, and it turns out I really do. I enjoy the process. So part of what got me into it, like enjoying it, was learning the process, like from a technical standpoint, because before we made videos and did battle reports, I knew nothing about editing videos. And I taught myself with Ray's help how to do that. And then I knew nothing about podcasting. And we started putting out a podcast and I learned about editing. I learned about sound quality and how to get quality, you know, sound better. Probably the biggest things, I started learning how to host and how to make interesting episodes, how to find topics that were interesting and how to make guests more interesting. So I've enjoyed that. And what keeps me going now is the Floorheads. There's so many people that have been so kind and so supportive. And it's not even about the money, but the reaction we got to the Patreon was
it just amazes me, because you go through and you look at all of the other podcasts, not even just Malifaux podcasts, but hundreds of podcasts out there for gaming. And you know, I'll pop over to their Patreon and I support some of them because I like their content. And I realize how lucky we are that we've got 3, 4, 5 times as many patrons as some of these podcasts that have been around for a very long time. And that's encouraging. It means that people are enjoying it and I'm enjoying making it. So it's great. It has been exhausting to do it weekly. That was the dumbest thing I ever did, was saying this would be a weekly podcast, because it was, you know, super energetic and had a ton of things I wanted to do at the beginning. So that's why I've gone 3 on, 1 week off, to make sure that I can still maintain that energy and hopefully maintain the quality.
Yeah. If you're not a Patreon supporter, you should definitely slide over there and give Craig a buck or something at least, right? It's definitely worth it to get the pods a week early. So definitely slide over.
I just told him that we didn't need any more. I was the worst salesman in the world.
Yeah, get over there. Come on, dude. So a lot of people asked, I think this is a good branching question. A lot of people asked about the non-Malifaux content in just sort of a general way. So we got a question from Loke, a question from Jim. I guess maybe the best way to ask it is like, how much of that do you feel is a break from Malifaux? How much of it is something you want to do more of in the future? And what are you most proud of, maybe even?
I don't remember what our first non-Malifaux episode was off the top of my head. But there's a couple things happening when we do non-Malifaux content. And we probably, you know, are getting close to every other episode now, being, you know, Malifaux, non-Malifaux, Malifaux, non-Malifaux. And there's a couple things. If this was a monthly podcast, then we could do all Malifaux all the time and would never run out of things to talk about. To a certain degree, if you're doing something on a weekly basis, Cody, you kind of run out of stuff to talk about, right?
Yeah.
The other thing is that for me to want to do it, to have the energy to do it, to try to keep this, you know, fun to listen to, I've got to enjoy what we're talking about. So a certain degree, you see me, you know, what am I enjoying right now? So one of the things that happened with COVID is I played less Malifaux, just like everybody else did. But what I did discover was role-playing again, and was able to do that online. And it was something where I don't enjoy Malifaux online, but I do enjoy role-playing online. And so there's going to be some role-playing content. The same thing with some of the Marvel Crisis Protocol content that we've put out is because I'm enjoying playing that. I really, really love the Insider Insight series that I'm doing. I really am enjoying talking to people that are making games. We've got some episodes coming out now with writers, people that have written for Weird. We've got some actual artists, like people that have drawn for Weird, coming on the show. I can't wait to record those episodes because I haven't had anybody like that on the show. But having, you know, people like Bryce Johnston and Jamie Perkins on the show, and the guys that make Drown Earth and stuff like that, it's very interesting to me to talk to them and to learn and pull that curtain behind. And I'm hoping people are enjoying it. So I know that for most people listening, they came here for the Malifaux. I hope the non-Malifaux content is still interesting for them. And I hope they understand why we do it. And for those that are frustrated by it, I'm sorry. I still guarantee I'm putting out more Malifaux content than just about anybody else, even though maybe every other episode is Malifaux. How about you, Cody? I mean, as a listener, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the Perkins episode was phenomenal. I shared it in like all of my War Machine groups, not just the Malifaux, because it was you did such a good job of teasing out his thoughts in a way that was very compelling to hear, and in a way that as soon as he said certain things, I was like, duh, you know,
he was a great guest,
but he said them in such a way where I was like, okay, yeah, now I get it now. So I really love those kind of episodes, the designer series for sure.
But what happens when you look at your feed and you see an episode devoted to Marvel Crisis Protocol, which is a game you don't play? As a listener, do you just not listen to it, or do you find that content worth listening to too?
There's been one of those, right? Well, I guess you're saying any other game. Right. Yeah.
Right. The actual play role-playing stuff, which I know you don't do.
So my honest answer is I download them, but I don't listen to them that day, but I usually come back to them.
Interesting. Okay.
So like some of them I've listened to them like, oh, I really want to like check this out. Like the one rated with Sky Tier. I was like, that sounds pretty sweet actually.
Yep.
But I'm trying to think of all the different ones. Mainly the designer ones I listen to. I listen to all of those. But if it's like I don't know, what are the other?
But it's interesting. I mean, what you're saying there is interesting, which is, you know, you still will end up probably listening to it. So are you saying, but when a Malifaux episode comes out, Cody, do you immediately jump on it?
Yeah, more than likely. There are a few deep dives I got like halfway through. And then I was like, okay, I think I get this now.
You get the idea.
Or it's like something I played against so much where I was like, I'm sick of hearing about this guy, you know, stuff like that. But yeah, I usually listen to everything as soon as it comes out. I'm like a weirdo and I listen to entirely too many podcasts. So
yeah,
I've listened to pretty much everything, but I've listened to, you know.
Yeah, it's not just tabletop.
To be clear, this question was not about like, please stop doing that. It was like, oh, you know, what does that do for you? And like, what itch does that scratch kind of thing for you?
I think the reason I took it in that direction, Cody, is quite honestly, it's something I worry about. Now, what's nice, though, is it's brought in new listeners. So I've had listeners say just the opposite of what I expected, which is, you know, I don't really play Malifaux, so I don't listen to those episodes, but I like these episodes. Mm-hmm. But it's something that I'm concerned about because we are primarily a Malifaux podcast. I don't see that changing anytime soon. So it wouldn't shock me if listeners are like, what the hell? You know, why are we talking about this? But I said, well, I want to hear about Malifaux.
Yeah, I don't think anyone is unimpressed with your work ethic, dude. I mean, like you said, like you're pushing out an insane amount of Malifaux content, which segues good into my question, which is I feel like you're pretty unquestionably like the biggest voice in promoting Malifaux. Like you're the King fanboy, you're Faux Rogan, all that stuff. But what would you like to see from the Malifaux community in terms of fan produced content that you want to listen to or watch?
Interesting. That's a good question. I love the fact that we're seeing more battle reports being put out there. That makes me happy because we've stepped off the gas at Third Floor Wars. I mean, that used to be kind of what we did and we don't really do it as much anymore. And again, I kind of talked about it. It's because I can put out a weekly podcast, but I can't put out weekly battle reports. I just don't have the bandwidth to do it. So the people that are doing that, I think it's huge because that's good for the game. I like the non-competitive content for Malifaux a lot. So I'm a big fan of Steam Powered Scoundrels. I love the fact that they love Malifaux, but they don't put out the same kind of content that I do. It's not focused on the stuff that I and other podcasts focus on. I love what Rage Quit is doing with the kind of beginner's introduction to the faction introductions, which is something we don't really do. So I like the answer to the question is find your voice. Been talking to the guys that are about to put one out in Australia, and you know, what I've been trying to say to them, because they've been asking for advice, is figure out your voice. What do you find interesting? And if you find it interesting, then other people are going to find it interesting. And so, you know, for those of you listening or thinking about creating content, is there something that you heard in one episode from one podcaster that you said, wow, that's my favorite episode. I wish they did more of that. Well, do it. And if you don't know how to make a podcast, I could spend 30 minutes with you tops and you'd be ready to go and start recording it. I love Swamp Fiends because it's like, when I listen to a Swamp Fiends episode, I know that I'm going to get something different than anything else being put out there right now, because you guys found your voice. Took a little bit of time, but now you have. So I will consume something that is unique. That is signature. But as far as, you know, stuff that's missing, just more. Does that help?
Yeah, definitely.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help.
For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Howdy friends, Craig here. You deserve a new playmat. Here on the third floor, we use Mats by Mars. They are scratch resistant, waterproof, wet erase marker compatible, almost free of glare, and lighter than neoprene. Mats by Mars gives you over 40 designs to choose from. You pick a mat, pick a design, and then you pick an overlay, like one for Marvel Crisis Protocol, Star Wars Legion, or even Malifaux 3rd Edition. Those overlays will really speed up your deployment and make the placement of objective markers so easy. Use our promotion code in the show notes to get a 10% discount on your first order. In the notes of your order, you can even request the third floor logo on your mat for free. That makes the best mat in the business even a little better. So get some new mats, save yourself some money, and help support the show. Go to matsbymars.com. All the details are in the show notes, including the discount code.
This question is from Anthony Nguyen. What are you looking forward to in Malifaux in 2021?
I'd love to be able to play again at a table. I'm looking forward to Explorers. I think that's going to be a lot of fun for a lot of people. Seeing the initial, I mean, over on the desk here, I've got all of the Cooper sculpts that we used in that live stream, and they're gorgeous. I mean, and I'll tell you, you know, you see pictures, one thing, you see them on a video. That's another thing, to hold the models and look at them. I mean, you know this, Cody. It's I got to see the sculpt, right? So people say pictures and that they'll say, you know, that sculpt's garbage. That looks terrible. But, and I've said that too to myself. I try not to say it out loud. And then I get the sculpt and I look at it, or even halfway into painting it, and I'll go, I think I really like this a lot. I don't think I realized how much I liked it until I've spent some time with it. So I can't wait to see what we've got coming from Explorers. I hope we see Gaining Ground season 2. I can understand if they don't put it out next year just because of the delay, and the people are still learning Gaining Ground season 1, for crying out loud. But I love new Gaining Grounds. I love seeing the new design space that they find. I like the way that Matt and Kyle think, and I like to see them produce content. So I like to see new rules. I like, you know, I think we've got some stuff coming from Weird soon that is non-Malifaux. There's talk of a board game coming out and stuff like that. That always fascinates me because I'm a fanboy and I like how these guys make games. So I like that idea as well. Another thing I'd love to see is Other Side become a thing. I would love just miraculously to suddenly people start playing that game because... And, you know, I'm guilty as anything. I sold mine because I didn't play it. But, you know, the people that do love it say it is a great game. So I would love for that, you know, to survive.
Great. Yeah. What do you think it would take to make Other Side pop back up again?
So what they're doing, I think, is really clever. And whether it was intentional or not, it doesn't matter. But putting out Malifaux sculpts for the Other Side, I think, is really smart. So, for example, the Karai box that'll be coming out is going to have a whole new Karai sculpt, a whole new Akiro sculpt. I'm going to buy that box because I want those for Malifaux. And I'm going to be getting Other Side cards. And I'll probably buy the Sonya one too when that comes out. So I think that's really smart. I think a starter box done in the same way. I think the company that did the best starter box to this, two companies have done great starter boxes in my mind. One is Steamforged. Their Guild Ball starter boxes were phenomenal because they had the Christmas morning magic, which is I could get that starter box and I could Christmas Day, without buying anything else, start playing Guild Ball. And the one that's second place in my mind to that is Marvel Crisis Protocol's starter box, because it gave me models, it gave me dice, it gave me measurement tools, it gave me terrain. The only thing it didn't give me was glue and clippers, but it gave me everything else to start playing the game. So I would love to see if Malifaux can do that. Carnival, their starter box is phenomenal. It gives me the models. It gives me a gorgeous terrain. You should see the terrain that comes in that starter box. It's all cardboard, but it's freaking cool.
Yeah, I love those sculpts. The sculpts are so cool.
Oh, dude, I can't wait. I mean, it'll been out by the time people are listening to this, but you're really going to enjoy my insider insight with Lewis from TT Combat and the stuff when he starts talking. I think it's going to be really difficult for people to listen to that episode and not either pick up Rumble Slam, which I did, or pick up Carnival, which I did, because the stuff that he talks about is fantastic. But to your point, the sculpts in Carnival, it's a gorgeous world.
Yeah. All right. So now let's enter what I'm affectionately calling the Arcanist block of the question. but do we need to go to break first?
No, I'm good, man.
Okay. Do you want to hear a word from our sponsors or something? I know all the floorheads can relate to this, but there's the one part of the ads that's like hardwired into my brain is when you go, if you play Malifaux or just want to look good while doing it.
So somebody said to me, in one of the live streams, I had the, you know, the music that plays under my voiceover guy that does the, you know, do the intro at the every episode, the kind of hip hop pseudo thing. So I play that music at the beginning of my live streams, but without the voiceover. And I've had several people say to me, they can hear him. They can hear him do the intro because they hear the music, even though he's not saying anything.
That's funny.
But that's funny.
All right. So this one's from Matthew Overton. Said, I know it's just a meme now, but can you try and your very best explain what it really is about Arcanist that you hate so much?
So it's a, let's be clear. It's a shtick. yeah, now I do hate them, but like the degree in which I emphasize that is something that I get mileage out of more than anything. And I know it makes people chuckle. The source of it is legitimate, and emotionally scarring. So when I found Malifaux, I was breaking up with 40K, and at the time I actually breaking up with Guild Ball as well, and I found Malifaux and I started teaching myself, and I got one of my buddies, a guy named Jimmy that I played 40K with and played Hobbit with, and I said, hey, try this out. And he went out and bought a box, and he bought Raspi, I bought Perdita, and we learned how to play the game together. And all we had was family, and well, there wasn't even keywords back then. It was, I had Perdita, he had Rasputina, and Jimmy is a better player than I am in every game that we've ever played. And I got my ass handed to me by Raspi over and over and over again. And part of it was Perdita wasn't very good in second edition. And all part of it was I wasn't very good with her. And then, you know, as we expanded out, I got more guild models. He got more Arcanist models, but my win loss record with him didn't change that much. So I just got, you know, got frustrated playing Arcanist. I will tell you that, I think I really would love the interfaction balance to be as good as Arcanist for all the factions. Cause one thing I'd like about Arcanist is I think that, each one of their masters has a place. And I'd love to see that extend as much as it is in Arcanist, but no, I have nothing against Arcanist players. And, but we'll have an emotional reaction to some Arcanist models.
So for Nick Cromarty, he asks, if you're in charge of fixing Arcanist, what would you change?
Nothing. I know nothing about designing games. I know nothing about fixing games.
I know, but that's a softball for you to
know.
Say something like throw them in the trash.
No, Arcanists are fine. I don't know. What would I change about Arcanist? Bring Ramos back. I'd love to see him come back out of Dead Man's Hand. I always liked Ramos thematically. I don't miss him. I don't miss playing against him. But I'd love to see Ramos come back. What would I change about Arcanist?
A Craig tax, you know, plus two cost to every model.
Craig tax. Every time you play against me, you got to play 45 stones. I like that idea a lot. I'd still lose, but it would at least be a closer game. So of all the factions, I think Arcanists have the best fluff. So this is going to go in a completely different direction. I would love to see more writing about Arcanists and stories about Arcanists. And I'd like to see more about, I like to learn more about their characters. I would like the first novel that comes from Weird Miniatures to center around Arcanists, because I think they are the most interesting and unique and just deepest from a fluff perspective. So that is 100% not what was asked, but that's probably the best answer I can give.
Yeah, that's a great answer, dude. So here's a Friday Night Fowdown style question. Wed, bed, behead. I might have got the order mixed up.
Wed, bed, behead. Wed, bed, wed, Tony.
Solid.
Bed. I probably Karis. Behead. It has to be Raspy. Raspy for behead, just because I'm scarred. And I'll tell you what, Raspy could be at the bottom of the curve, Cody. And I like, the scars are deep. The scars are deep. I played against her in third and she made me mad.
Yeah, she was my first master in first edition, secretly. So surprise. Oh, yeah. Surprise. I've secretly been an Arcanist this whole time.
But you know, I've been seeing people post and stuff saying Raspy's garbage, Raspy's weak, Raspy's not garbage, Raspy is not weak. Raspy in the right hands in the right pool is phenomenal.
Yeah, I definitely think there's a lot of like creative freedom there that could be played out.
Yeah, there's a lot to be unlocked with her, and I'm not sure anybody's fully unlocked her.
So John H asks that you claim to be a bad player. However, you've had a ton of focused conversations with some of the best players in the world, like yours truly. how has that helped him personally?
So one thing, how do I want to put this? I am a bad player. I do make a big of a joke of it. It's another sticky thing that I do, because I get mileage out of it. But I'm not a secretly great player. Cody can attest to that. But the reason I don't win, which is different than necessarily being a bad player, I guess, maybe, I don't know if I'm making a distinction that matters. The reason I don't win more is because I fall apart at the table. I fall apart in the heat and my execution. But I know why I lose. So when I finish a game, I'm not a bad player who's like, you know, I flipped a black joker and that's why I lost. No, I know why I lost, because I, like an idiot, you know, activated that model when my game plan was not to do that. But for some reason, I thought that was a good idea at the time. So I execute poorly at the table. But I think, partially because of this podcast, I think I understand the game. So I don't think the reason that I'm not a better player is because I don't understand the game. I feel like I do have a decent grasp on what makes a good player good. I think I can, when I watch a match, a battle report, and I think I could, after the end of the battle report, I could turn to somebody as knowledgeable as you, Cody, and I think you and I could have a healthy conversation on why that person won or lost. What needs to happen is, you know, one, I need to play more. That's the only way I would get better at handling that in-game bad plays that I make. But it's not exclusive to Malifaux. I do the same thing in MCP. I did the same thing in Warhammer. I did the same thing in Guild Ball. I'm just, for whatever reason, I do not control my impulses at the table as well as I need to be a top-tier player. I don't accurately process new information as quickly as I need to be good at the table. So I think that I'm probably a much better strategist than I am a tactician, if that makes sense.
It does. And I think that really makes sense with my read to your play style, is that, and like your goals with gaming, like I've had a conversation with Travis about this. It's like, Craig is definitely a good player. He's just not like a hungry player, but what is your goal with gaming? It's not to be the best or anything like that. It's to play out the strategies and, like, you know, see what works, see what doesn't. At least that's my read. And I think that the outcome is less important to you than pretty much everything that happens before it.
No question, Cody. That's a good read. That's a good read. I mean, ultimately, what I love the most is standing across the table from somebody that I enjoy playing a game with and having that shared experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's people that I play with that I love to play with them, and I literally don't give a shit who wins the game. I have so much fun at the table with that person at, you know, creating that shared experience. I mean, the one thing that's very unique about tabletop gaming is that it's a truly shared experience, and both parties are responsible for making that a good shared experience. That's not a bad read. What are you talking to Travis? Talking about Wayforth?
Yeah, Nova.
Oh, okay.
Not currently. Okay. Yeah, we keep in touch.
Did you know Travis before that, or is that the first time you met Travis?
I met him at the Nova before that too.
Oh, okay.
Barely. But no, we've had like a conversation and a half. But we both know
it was you. About me.
We both know you. That's like our only connecting tissue. And I listen to his podcast.
And the other thing too, just to be clear, to give Travis credit, the Craig is a bad player hangover comes from Max Value. So that was a running joke on Max Value, is that Craig's a terrible player. Pooping there. They got to the point towards the end of Max Value that they could not have an episode without at some point him making fun of what a bad player I am.
So you're a bad player and a joke thief. All right.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So I think that transitions into Alex's questions really nicely. How would you recommend players balance learning from experienced players and then innovating their own approaches, especially with all the content?
So listen, you get a deep dive, right? On a master either you play or that you're interested in playing. Soak it all in, but know that there's no final answers being given. You know, I try to spend a lot of time curating and being very particular about who I bring on the show. I feel like I've picked up a pretty decent radar have gotten decent at being able to know who would be both a good guest and, you know, has the knowledge to be legitimate subject person master on there. But take in the information, but don't go in there saying, you know, I'm going to play what they play. Listen to why they play it. So if I, you know, talk to Cody about Parker and Parker says that, you know, he likes to bring this upgrade on this model. Don't sit there and go, well, I'm going to bring in this upgrade on that model. Think why, what's Cody's thinking? Why does he like that upgrade on that model? And how did Cody get to that decision? Because that's where you're going to learn. That's where you're going to get better. And that ties right into the innovation. And then the other part of the innovation, it's why talk about Broken Record, you got to play the freaking game. And you've got to try stuff out. And you have to play the game enough that you can throw something in there. Is there a model you haven't been using? Play a game with it. See what happens. You know, you might find a corner case or a way that it combines with somewhere else or combines in a situation at the table that you're not going to get reading the cards. And you know, my last bit of advice is don't be a Malifaux player who doesn't play Malifaux. And there's a ton of them out there in every game, and they exist in Malifaux, which is people that read the cards and then talk about them like they know what the hell they're talking about, because that's not true. You cannot be an authority in Malifaux on anything if you haven't played it or played against it or both. Nobody can read the cards and really understand how something's going to perform on the table.
Yeah, I think that's a carryover from, I think about this a lot. I think that's a carryover from card games, is that like if you are literally reading the card, you think, well, oh, this has an exorcism and this is a summoner, so this counters this. But in actuality, the space dimension changes everything so much where it's literally almost meaningless to know that something is good against something without understanding how something got to that point. And to that point, I think you do a really good job with like your path to podiums and getting people to talk more about the process that got to the win instead of like, you know, read me your list and then, you know, what models did you take? That stuff doesn't matter as much as the process. And I
think you'll find if you listen to some path to podiums, you'll find times where I forget to ask him what they brought. And sometimes we'll go, well, should I tell you what I brought? I'm like, oh yeah, I guess there's people want to know that. But yeah, to your point, that's what I try to find out, Cody, in those path to podiums, is I want to know what were the key moments, right? When did you know you were going to win the game, and what led up to that point and what happened at that point? Because I think that's why we can listen to the Path to Podiums. If you listen to some of the outtakes at the end of some of those Path to Podiums, I've said it during some of those outtakes, like, nobody gives a shit whether you won or lost, right? So if you're on the podium, nobody's listening to find out why you won. Why they're listening is, they're, you know, what can I learn from the fact that Cody placed first? Whether you brought Parker or Hamlin doesn't matter to them. Why you brought Parker or why Hamlin won is what can make them a better player. So I agree.
Yeah, I think that transitions well into another question I had. So in the three rollout, there were a lot of hot takes about which minis were too good, which rules were bad for the game, which mechanics were lost, et cetera, et cetera. What was the community the most wrong about? And then what were you the most wrong about?
Oh boy. I was the most wrong about ties. So my initial fear, and I tried to keep it to myself, though I'm sure I talked about it, was the way the scoring system worked is I thought there was going to be mostly ties and that it was going to hurt the game. And I don't see that playing out. I thought it was going to be a really big deal and a really big problem. And I don't know if it is. So I would have to say it's probably my guess on where I was the most wrong. But I'm going to preface that, or I'm going to add to that a little bit and saying none of us freaking know. Mm-hmm. As far as I'm concerned, 3 came out 2 weeks ago. As far as how much time people have been able to play 3. So I think we have a long way to go before we can really, you know, do anything. The first part of that question was, what did I think the community was wrong?
Yeah. What do you think the community was most wrong about, either mechanics wise or models?
Yeah. I don't think that the community realized, how balanced having a lot of really good models would end up being. So I think one of the things that 3 had, I mean, you read all of these cards in 3, and it's just like, you read this card, you read this master, and you're like, holy crap, she's good. Then you read the next master, and you're like, holy geez, he's good. Cause we all had second edition head, right? We were comparing this third edition master to everything we knew in second edition. And so it seemed like all of the stuff was bonkers. And I think it was Varney that said it first, which is, you know, if everything's broken, then nothing's broken. I think that's kind of what happened. And what we realized in 3 is that it was shockingly balanced, though initially, because we had this second edition hangover, it seemed like it was going to be incredibly unbalanced. But I feel like it is more balanced than 2. But I also feel like that we had a lot more time to figure out 2. We have not had that time with 3. So 3 is going to have legs longer than 2 just by the sheer fact of that there's fewer games being played.
Howdy friends, Greg here. Nothing makes Malifaux easier than having the right tools. Here at the Third Floor, we love all the licensed Malifaux goodies from Custom Meeple. Not only are they helping support this podcast, they sell custom-made weird licensed tokens and terrain. They sell it all. Crew boxes, terrain, markers, tokens, and even a 3x3 full Malifaux board. Custom Meeple sells a complete M3E token set covering every marker and token you need to play. Custom Meeple are the source for the official accessories for Malifaux. Everything is designed by hand and authorized by Weird Games. Check them out at CustomMeeple.com. That's with 1 M. Or follow the link in the show notes. Up your Malifaux game and be sure to tell them Craig from the Third Floor sent you. If you use the promo code Third Floor Friend, all one word, THIRDFLOORFRIEND, you'll get a 5% discount and help support the podcast. It's valid on everything except retail products and playmats.
So here's a nice, easy question from Landon. Well, maybe it's hard. I don't know. Do you find playing, podcasting, or organizing tournaments to be the most fun thing about Foe?
It's not organizing tournaments. So the only tournament I've really done was the GT that we had here in North Carolina, and that was stressful. So freaking hats off to henchmen, man, that the people in your meta that are throwing tournaments, that stuff is hard work and you have no idea how much it sucks until you have to do it. So make sure when we're back to playing and you have got your friend and your henchman or your buddy or whatever that's organizing, getting people together and making those events happen, gush, buy them a beer, buy their lunch, thank them. 2 days later, thank them again. In the chat, thank them again. Like, you want to encourage that behavior, because if you don't, they're going to burn out on you and you're not going to have games to play. And trust me, you don't want to be the guy doing it because it sucks. But thank God people do it. I have, you know, when USFT was live, I did enjoy that. Because I don't know if that's what the question was about. I did like being, I felt very connected to all the metas because I was getting the data. And I had, you know, key people in all the metas that helped me make sure I got the data. And you know, the less games are being played, so I don't feel like I had the pulse as well, as I did back then. So I missed that. But as far as producing content versus playing, we have such a good meta here, man. And NC, I miss the guys. I really, really do. And like doing stuff like the camping trip that we did recently, and actually being able to spend time with people again and be across with them playing board games or playing, you know, we had Marvel Crisis Protocol out there because it travels well. Man, talk about taking stuff for granted, Cody.
Yeah, I
miss it terrible. So I think playing first and foremost. But I love doing this too, man. I love shooting the shit with people. So I've been enjoying the podcast. But I'd have to say playing podcast and then organizing at the bottom.
Yeah, it's a thing you don't know what you got till it's gone sort of situation where I have like sort of a two-man meta down here. And the one game I get to play a week for the past 2 months, which is probably going away again because we're in our third spike. Has been quite a bit of a solace, and we've been playing mass games the whole time, and it's not a problem. It's just it's crazy how much, when that's the only thing you get to do, how much you look forward to it.
Yeah. Oh, dude, Jim and Paul are two people that, you know, protocols are such that I can have them up here, and I've got to be super careful because I'm immune compromised. And like, you want to talk about looking forward to every other week, having one of those guys come up here and play a game with me. Like, I'm like a kid. I'm like, I'm so excited. Jim's coming over, you know, it is something else. How about you? I'd be curious about you, Cody. Did you create content for any other game, or is this the first content creation you've done?
Definitely pod. I don't know. I blog or I don't know. I post on my Instagram a lot of painting because I am a very prolific painter.
Yeah, that doesn't
count. Then I would blog about my paint and shit like that. Well, the thing we was talking about on the War Machine podcast, where like my goal was to fully paint the list I brought to a tournament and then win a tournament with every faction in the game. I spent a lot of time writing about that process and like, okay, well, now I found this list, time to get it painted up, kind of stuff like that. But I mean, that was mostly like I would write a paragraph. You know, this is definitely,
yeah,
leaps and bounds more in terms of content creation for sure, which is because you've invited me onto this pod and this is fun. So I started the pod with my buddy just because it's like, it's fun to set up a time to just talk about fun stuff. And that's all it really is. And that's, if we could have two listeners and we'd still, you know, do it. That's why I don't advertise for this much. Yeah. Oh, anyway, what were you about to say?
You answered my question. I was going to ask you what made you decide to start Swamp Fiends, and you answered it.
Okay. Yeah.
And I didn't even have to ask it. We're so good together, Cody.
All right. So quite a few people asked this sort of question. So like Brian Stones or Schemes, I forget what his last name is. It's one of the other.
Yeah.
He asked this, and Dan Brown also sort of asked this. If you were in charge of changes to Malifaux, what sort of changes would you make in terms of erratas?
Yeah, again, we're getting into, I know nothing about, nothing about games. And so guess what? I'm going to answer a different question. That's kind of along the same lines. Here's what I would love to see happen with Malifaux is I would love to see them start putting out the equivalent of Black Library. I think that one of the biggest untapped minds in the world of Malifaux is the lore. And I think that I think the stories are awesome. I think listening to the stories on the broadcast pod is phenomenal, but I would love to see, you know, a book series that starts from the beginning and really takes it through. And I don't know. I feel like that's a huge untapped thing. And I don't think I'm the only one. I think there's a lot of people out there that if they put out a book series that was set in Malifaux, that it would just get consumed.
Yeah, that would be so awesome. Like an Arcanist book, the Arcanist novel, something like that would be great. If it was an audio book, I would listen to it. That'd be great. Yeah, that sounds sweet. Okay. Ambrose asks, the relationship between the fluff of Malifaux and its mechanics leads to immersive experiences even during high-level competitive play. Do you know any other games, and it could be not even in this type or genre, that succeeds so well in that regard?
Not as well. So I think Malifaux does that exceptionally well, especially for it being an original IP. And it's the little details, man. It's the name of the abilities. It's the humor that's woven throughout Malifaux while still being a deadly serious and, you know, pretty perverse universe. It's the humor and how it's just sewn through it, the model names, the ability names. I think Marvel Crisis Protocol does a great job of that. And I mean, the reason I enjoy the game is because it feels like I put the Avengers on the table and they feel like the Avengers when I'm activating Captain America and, you know, throwing a shield. I can see Captain America throwing a shield. So the biggest selling point, I think, for Marvel Crisis Protocol is it feels like what it's supposed to be, which is, you know, superheroes battling. So I think for me, probably Marvel Crisis Protocol is second to that. You know, and then it's not even the same, but, you know, I love role playing, man. I love it. I love running a game. I love listening to games. So actual play podcasts, I love, and actual play on YouTube, I love. I love being a player. I've been playing again as a player, which I haven't had a chance to do in forever. And it's for me, it's always been the ultimate version of gaming, role playing. So it's nice to do it again.
Great. Yeah, I've listened to your Star Wars role-playing stuff. That's pretty sweet. Even though I'm a Return of Jedi fan, so interpretation is a little weird to me.
At some point, maybe we got to do a bonus episode, dude, because you and I have had a phenomenal conversation about Empire Strikes Back versus Jedi and how that defines you as a generation, as a person. That's it, dude. We're gonna figure that out. We're gonna do that as a bonus episode. We can do it on Swamp Fiends or we can do it here, but it's a good conversation.
No, thanks. I'm not looking forward to getting completely ostracized from every Minis gaming community for having the different opinion. The same opinion.
All right, we're not going to do this right now, but I got to explain to people listening. So Cody on the chat here in the NC chat, I can't remember how it started, but it comes out that Cody says Jedi is the best of the original trilogy, and 40, almost 50 year old Craig is like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, of the three, it's the weakest, and like, Empire Strikes Back is the greatest. So immediately it's, you know, I'm the expert, of course, because that's me. And I'm like, Cody's an idiot. I thought Cody's a pretty smart guy, but like suddenly I realized that like there's one thing that Cody's an idiot about. But then we had the conversation and I don't think you're right still, but now I understand. And that's big. So even though I disagree with you, it was a really fascinating conversation, Cody. And it, you did a very good job of helping me understand why you're wrong.
Great. And The Last Jedi is the best of the new trilogy, so people can hate me for
that. I don't disagree with but all three of them were garbage.
I think they were just bad movies. Garbage.
They were badly constructed movies, but the closest one to being a decent movie was by far the second one. Yeah, that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the second of the three, right? Last Jedi, the one that was done by What's-His-Nuts. That was the best movie of the three of them, I agree. And the best constructed of them. The third one, the last one, I enjoyed as a fan. I enjoyed the movie, but it's a bad movie. and here, you want a hot take that'll get people going? Solo is better than all three of them.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree. Like, yeah. I love Solo. It's like my wife liked the third one of the new trilogy. She cried in the third of the new trilogy. She cried. She's like, I think I'm a Star Wars fan now. I'm like, why? That's the only bad one. Okay. But that segues nicely into a question from Kelly from Weird. She asks, what is your favorite movie genre?
My favorite movie genre. Boy, that's not easy. My favorite movie genre, it's probably science fiction, like good science fiction, though. Mm-hmm. Right. So I love Star Wars. I love Star Trek. I love light stuff, but then like The Expanse, you know, that's that type of sci-fi where it's really pushes things, the Asimov style sci-fi that really get your brain burning, or Ex Machina has been one of my favorite movies in the last 10 years, because that movie, like, it made me think and pushed it. So I would say, you know, yeah, like sci-fi that really gets the most out of it. I'm just now watching the second season of Westworld, which I the first season I was like, okay, this is good, but then kind of like petered out at the end of the first season, so I had no interest in watching the second season. Kind of ran out of shit to watch because of COVID, so I started watching the second season and I'm almost done with it. It's phenomenal because it's really, it does what good science fiction does, which is it's not the setting, it's the subject, and we're gonna take advantage of the fact that we don't have the limits in the setting that we would in another setting. Cause even fantasy has more restrictions than science fiction. So yeah, probably that greatest movie ever made. The only perfect movie ever made, Casablanca. There, that's a question you didn't ask.
I didn't need to. We're in, like you said. So also from Weird, they asked, what is your favorite episode of your podcast?
Oh boy. My favorite episode of the podcast. I take that back. I think the first expert roundtable episode is my favorite. Who was that? It was Doxy, Varney,
Bynum.
I'm trying to remember and Bynum. Yep. That's probably my favorite episode. Second favorite is probably the second roundtable that I did.
Yeah, I think that one was better. It was a lot better.
But the reason that the first one was my favorite was it was not a deep dive, which is kind of the only thing I'd been doing up to that point. And it's when I felt like I got my sea legs as a host, kind of controlling the discussion and keeping the discussion moving, pivoting on the discussions when it needed to pivot, and hopefully keeping it interesting. I feel like I got my sea legs in that roundtable. So that, for that reason, that's probably my favorite episode. My favorite pods to do right now are the Insider Insight series. Those are my favorites.
Also from Weird, they asked if you have a favorite in-game moment.
God, it's been so long since I played. favorite in-game moment. Oh God, this is going to be the first question I can't answer. Beauty of editing. I can sit here and think for a second. I don't have a favorite in-game moment. Probably the biggest high I've gotten gaming was the run I had at Nova. Mm-hmm. The 2018 run I had where I went into, it's the first time I ever played a top table at a big tournament. And it's the best I've ever done, and I felt like on my game. The one game that I lost, I know why I lost it, and I knew when I was losing it. I knew the games I was winning, I knew I was going to win the game, and I can't explain to you, like, that typically doesn't happen to me, right? I felt on top of that. Was the best I've played. And to play five rounds and tie one, lose one, and win the rest, that's the best I've ever done. So that's probably the high for me as far as Malifaux gaming.
Yeah, that's a beautiful part of these games, is that you can be in the zone and you can start seeing the matrix and all your decisions yep. become easy. Like every tournament I've won, I felt like I usually knew I was going to win at the end of round one. It's like, okay, I'm seeing the Matrix today, so this shit's going to be easy.
Yeah, and that shocker, it doesn't happen to me all the time, but it happened to me over those 2 days, and it was really cool to see the game the way I was seeing the game.
Yeah,
it was
great, dude. You won four rounds undefeated and then lost in the fifth, right?
So I went, I went 3 wins.
A tie.
Then a loss to Jesse. So that was top table that I lost in round four. And then I tied round five.
Okay. Great.
Hi, I'm Alexander Zdenchuk from Riga, Latvia, and I'm a patron of Third Floor Wars. Those guys open the beauty of Malifaux 3rd Edition to me and continue to provide tons of great content. You can support them too. Follow the links in the show notes below or search for Third Floor Wars at patreon.com.
What is it worth to you to get this podcast on a weekly basis? Is it worth $1 a month? $5 a month? $20 a month? If you'd like to help support the work that we're doing here on Third Floor Wars, please go by our Patreon. We're at patreon.com/thirdfloorwars. There you can pledge at any level, any dollar amount. Whatever you give us will help us put out quality content on a regular basis and hopefully make tabletop gaming a little bit better for you every week. Hey, need to give a special shout out to some of our newest patrons. A big thanks goes out to Bob Fletcher, Old Doc Fulton, Joseph Pye, Loke Walmo, Nicholas Prinzing, Dareth8952, Sven Hoffman, Mike Schmidt, and Peter DeArmas. The only reason we're able to put out content on a regular basis is because of you guys and gals. Thanks a ton.
I wanted to ask this question when we were talking about other systems, but I didn't get a chance to. So I'm going to shove it in right here. You talk on other pods and a little bit on your pod about the modern rule set, with Guild Ball, Marvel Crisis Protocol, Malifaux, but all of these things that sort of take the modern rule set to heart are skirmish games. So I wonder, who do you think could create a modern rule set with an army scale game?
So I can tell you who I hoped did it. And that was, I hoped that Fantasy Flight Games had did it with Star Wars Legion. Part of the reason I love Star Wars, so it wasn't a hard sell for me to try it out. But at first glance, I thought, oh, wow, this might be like an army level game, a non-skirmish game that does it. The problem is, in typical Fantasy Flight fashion, they got a little too cute. So they've got lots of clever things in that game, but there's too much of it and it becomes too fiddly of a game. They would have been better off spreading it out over two different games or three different games. So they didn't quite do it there. Though I hear that they were more successful with it with Armada, but that's not really an army level game. Who would I put my money on? Right now, I think the best designed miniature games are coming out of Weird and coming out of Steamforged. So that's where I'd put my money. And we're saying that when the other side exists. So it's possible it's already happened. But to a certain degree, and I've talked to enough people that play the other side is a big army game, is a skirmish game, pretending to be a big army game, but really is still kind of a skirmish game. But I think it'd be a challenge. I think it's much easier to do in a skirmish game. But, the key is that you've got to be streamlined. And one of the examples that I use when I try to explain this concept to people is how Marvel Crisis Protocol handles height. So not to get too deep into it, but they grossly oversimplified height. Everything literally is 2D, more than even Malifaux. And if I can punch a guy that's 2 inches away from me, it doesn't matter if I am at the top of a building or at the bottom of the building. If I, from the top down, I'm 2 inches away, I can punch you. So height literally doesn't matter in the game except for movement, right? So it can impact whether I can move or not and slow me down. The ability to streamline and find out that we don't need to simulate everything. We don't have to be infinity. We don't have to have true line of sight. The streamlining is good for the game and it makes the game better. That's, a big piece of it. And it's hard to do with a shit ton of models.
And it's ambitious, right? A company can definitely go out of business taking a swing like that. You know,
that's a good point. Because it's much harder to get people to buy big army games, and it's much harder to put your neck out there and produce that. Skirmishes are a much easier Kickstarter.
Yeah. All right. So I think we just got one or two more. This one comes from Loke. He says, what is Craig's normal job? And if he could live off Third Floor Wars, would he?
My normal job is I work for one of the big consulting companies, one of the big three. And I work in their tax practice, though I'm not a CPA. I do come from a financial background, though. But I am a manager, which is basically I'm one away from partner in the firm. And I do I'm an ex-programmer and an ex-DBA. And I'm client facing. So where I have found my niche is I can run a team of developers, and I understand that world and I understand that language. I can also be the client, main client contact, and I can be the face with the client. So they consider me the unicorn a lot of times, because usually someone's good at one or the other, but not both. So where I've found my career is my ability to explain technology to the non-technical, to explain clients to the technical, and being able to bridge that gap and have a foot in both worlds. It's super boring. It is a lot of hours, but it pays the bills and allows me to do what I love to do. I'm very lucky in that respect. Would I want to live off of Third Floor Wars? Probably not. But that's easy to say because I haven't had the chance, right? So let's pretend that suddenly this blows up to a level that I would have to make the decision, or is even an option, because it's not an option now. It's barely, I think I'll be lucky to break even this year because of how generous everybody has been. And I'm not complaining. It's amazing that I'm breaking even at this point. But you're saying no is kind of asinine, because I don't think it'll ever happen unless I started wanting to put out. The only way you can do that is to put out 40K content. Let's be honest. I'm not going to do it talking to Jamie Perkins and doing episodes about Rumble Slam. I'd have to be a GW podcast to even dream to make a living at it, which is not going to happen. So there's that. But funny little story is one of my big hobbies in college was sleight of hand magic, being a magician, and loved it in the same way that I love tabletop gaming. That's what I loved then. And there was a period of time where I seriously considered making a crack at making a living doing it. And so I started doing it professionally, not full time. And it didn't take long before I realized that I didn't like doing it anymore. And it destroyed my love of the hobby and the love of doing it. And I've never regained it back. So I think what I would be afraid of is I think I would not love tabletop gaming as much as I do if it was my full-time job.
So, dude, why are you not cheating at Malifaux?
I could. Next time we hang out, I'll show you some card tricks with the fake tech next time we hang out.
He's like, wait, that's the fourth time he's flipped Joker this turn?
And to be honest with you, I'm so good that I have been, and you never effing know it. Real question is how can you cheat so well and still lose?
Yeah, you must be real bad, dude. All right. So this last question got sent in by like 20 people. It's like the most popular question. They said, when will Cody, I guess that's me, Cody, when will he get a cut of the profit from the Floorhead shirts?
A lot of people, did they send that in?
Yeah, like 25 people.
Oh, that's amazing, Cody. And it's crazy that would be such a popular question. And what were the chances that I would want you to host this segment? And that to be, that's amazing. It's amazing how that comes together, Cody. How about this, buddy? I will give you, here's what I'll give you. Next time I see you, I will give you 50% of my profits on the currently sold shirts. And then, and that'll cover, we've had those shirts out there for a year now. And I will give you an advance for the next 4 years. So the next time I see you, I'll buy dinner.
Nice. I thought the question was going to be, we've lost money on those.
No, we haven't. So it's print on demand. It doesn't cost me anything. Okay. But our profit margin, like every time we sell a t-shirt, I think I make $1.50, $2 on it. Nice. By all means, if you like, don't buy the shirts if you're trying to help us. Buy the shirts because you want one. If you want to help us, baby, throw us $1 a month as a patron.
I'll say buy the shirt. If you don't, I'm going to kick in. You're in the Swamp Fiends Discord. I'm kicking you out. You must send a picture of you in a Floorhead shirt. You're gone.
Well, actually, you know what, dude? I have lost money on the Floorhead shirt because I paid for the artwork. So that's actually true. It was Eleanor that I hired, who's a phenomenal artist.
Yeah.
And she put the concept together and she gave me a ridiculously low quote for original artwork, and especially when I didn't really know what I wanted, and she helped me kind of figure it out. I really don't care. It was cool to have it, like have her create original artwork that's mine now, you know, and like and we have a name, and you know, just the whole thing's cool. So I don't care. I don't care to ever break even on it. Yeah, it's a cool t-shirt, so go buy one.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to get another one. I definitely outgrew mine with my quarantine 15, so I'm gonna have to give me a second order.
Get the XL.
Yeah. All right, man. I think that's all the questions we have. I just
So the one last thing, Cody, is Kelly at Weird, she obviously sent in some questions from the office, which was super nice of her. But she also did something else, which I didn't expect, but it doesn't surprise me because those guys and gals down there have been so good to us here. She wants me to give away 3 surprise gifts from Weird to kind of celebrate this 100th episode. And I have been racking my brain. She wants it to be random, which I agree with. I like the idea of it being a raffle type thing. But it's a little tricky because we're recording this weeks before it's released. So I've been trying to figure out some ideas, Cody. And I want to brainstorm with you. So one of the things I thought of is there'll be a post on Facebook from the Third Floor Wars Facebook page that'll have this episode talk, you know, touting it. And maybe for everybody who shares that post, we'll pick randomly from that group. Or do you think there's a better idea that would still be random?
You could pick from your Patreon subscribers.
You know what? And that was my first thought, Cody. But the problem is that if Patreon found out I did that, they would cut me off.
Is it real?
Cannot randomly give stuff away to patrons.
Really?
Yep. And I thought it was stupid until I thought about it some more, and I realized you can create an incredible gambling scheme through Patreon. If you did it right. So if I said to my Patreons, I'm going to give $100 a month to one random person, all you have to do is be my patron for $1.
Yeah.
So I understand why they do it. But real quick to that point, I do want to do more than just early ad-free episodes for my patrons, and I've got some ideas so they can look forward to more, but that doesn't answer the problem I've got. So how do we want to give away these generous 3 surprise gifts from Weird?
Well, I think you have plenty of Facebook visibility, so I think you should do Twitter, whoever retweets the tweet, and that'll give you a lot more visibility on that platform, which is probably less than your Facebook.
I love it. Perfect. So here's the deal. This episode's going to be, it's mid-December right now while you're listening to this. The episode will be released on, let's look at the calendar real quick. It'll come out on the 8th. There will be a tweet touting the episode. And everybody who retweets it between the 8th and, let's say, Christmas. So on the 26th of December, I will take a look at all of the retweets of that tweet, and I will randomly pick 3 of you, and you guys will win gifts generously provided by Weird. So Kelly and everybody at Weird, I appreciate you offering that. And for those of you listening right now, you can go to our Twitter feed at Third Floor Wars, and you should be able to find it in our feed. Just retweet it, and that'll make you eligible. Cody, man, really appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate having me on, dude. 100 episodes is crazy. And I definitely want to thank you from all the floorheads for producing all of this. I mean, like, it's super... If I ran like a statistical model predicting the success of third edition, I'm pretty sure that you would be like, just your podcast would be a very significant like chunk there.
Oh, I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
I know that we all appreciate the eps and all the great stuff.
Well, and you know, thanks to all the listeners. There's already been a segment, either before or after this. I'm not sure where when I piece this episode together, where I'm going to spend some time thanking a lot of people. But the support is what has made this just awesome. And it's not just the patrons; it's everybody sending kind words and saying nice things like you just did. So thank you, Cody.
Thank you.
All right, guys, let's go ahead and take a break.
Howdy, friend. Craig here. Is this episode making you realize you need to buy some models? Gadzooks Gaming is my favorite online retailer because of their large selection, killer prices, and great customer service. Don't you hate buying an entire crew box when you only need one model? Gadzooks sells crew box models individually and saves you a ton of money. They even have free shipping to the US and Canada if you spend $100 or more. Swing by GadzooksGaming.com and make sure you tell them Craig from the Third Floor sent you. All the details are in the show notes.
It's always a blast chatting with Cody. Before we listen to a bunch of the flubs and outtakes from the past 100 episodes, I need to do some shout-outs. You may hear my voice the most on this pod, but there are a ton of people that make it happen. For starters, you. Yeah, you. The person who takes the time to listen to my episodes. The 100 episodes that have been listened to more than 150,000 times. I remember the early ones, they only got a handful of listens. Now I release the pod at 1 a.m. my time, and by the time I get up, it's got several hundred listens just while I was sleeping. Now know that without Ray, there is no Third Floor Wars and there is no podcast. He helped dope like me learn how to edit and make things sound good. He's always been there to help me and to answer questions. Some of my favorite episodes are the ones he's hosted. James Doxey, Paul Regina, Donald Kroger, and Brian Powell were some of the first guests on the show. Bless them, they suffered through a host that knew nothing about what he was doing. Hats off to Steve Bynum and Jamie Varney, who gave us the pod's first couple deep dives. We've done many since and got many more to go on, but I can't wait to have Steve and Jamie back on the show again. We got to tip our hats to Kelly, Matt, Kyle, and everyone else at the Weird Office. Not only do you guys make the best minigame in the market, but you also support what we do here, and we appreciate it. Special note to our sponsors and advertisers. You guys are the best. Special thanks to Schooner Labs, Mats by Mars, Custom Meeple, Spotify, and Gadzooks Gaming. The support from them and the people at TT Combat and Redgrass Games make a difference. Make sure you check them out. Supporting them is supporting us. I'll never forget the day that we announced our Patreon. It's well over a year ago now. There was 10 people that signed up immediately. Jesse Ellis, James Hahn, Sam Newman, Nick Westbrook, Jim Ortiz, Kevin Smith, Dan Brown, and Keith Suderman, along with Matt Riddle, DZ, and Matt Cole. Those guys and gals and the other 100 patrons are why this podcast isn't a losing venture, along with being a labor of love. Lastly, Nick Westbrook, Craig Chuba, and Kevin Smith. The three of you are by far the most generous of all of our patrons. And if any of you guys know Nick, Craig, and Kevin or cross their path, make sure you thank them for doing their part in making all of this happen. All right, enough gushing. Sit back and enjoy 15 or so minutes of me and some of the guests screwing up, making jokes, laughing, and just having fun. Enjoy. All right. Who wants to start off with second level play?
I don't think anything I do is good. I just play.
All right. I've got to figure out where to put that first break. We picked up a new sponsor, so I had to add a break, and I don't like where it is, but I'll get over it.
He's now swimming in his bathtub of money.
yeah. I'm making tens of dollars on this podcast.
I don't think I actually answered a question. I'd get lost sometimes.
You're barely listenable, Nick.
Yeah. It's like, no, oh yeah, let me talk about something else.
No, you're fine. It's my job as the host to direct things. So if I feel like I've asked something you haven't answered, I'll ask you again. Don't worry.
Yeah.
That's I don't know. I feel like a lot of podcasts where some of the guests just ramble about random stuff end up being the most interesting.
Well, it's part. Yeah, it's part of what I like.
It's not overly excessive. Yeah.
I agree, and it's one of the things like I want. That's why I try to turn this into a conversation as fast as possible.
Yeah.
And it's also why I don't you know say here's all the questions I'm going to ask. I'm not going to ask any other questions because I just want to kind of see where things go. And I've learned to control things as a host, so I can, you know, if I think you're going in a place that nobody gives a shit about, I'll, you know, I can bring it back. So, but that's not your job, Nick. That's mine.
Yeah.
So when we get into the pool here, my first question for you guys is she just good in everything because of this flexibility?
No.
Okay, good, good. So what
no,
I'll
no,
do
no,
I'll
start... yeah, absolutely not. Yeah. Good.
Yeah, well, I guess reckoning she'd blow, right?
Yeah, she's not great. Yeah.
A good segment.
Sorry that I'm rambling so much. I think I'm quite nervous about this, actually. I've not actually had to speak about... Like, I'm really good at doing my games, but if Alex asks me afterwards, how did it go? I'm like, I have no idea what just happened.
It's all just fine. She just goes into some weird Neverborn mode. She gets possessed.
Exactly. Like, I've played so many games of Malifaux that I'm just like, I don't know, I scored some points. Dreamer probably summoned something. And it just happens now, sort of like passively.
Oh, funny.
Just like you're really there, right?
Dreamer
turns to you, just summon, like, you know, a demon and just make up a creature for it and just, you know.
Yeah. Oh, just sort of, I'm sort of exposed to Malifaux. I don't play it. It just sort of happens around me.
Her eyes roll back. She starts flipping cards.
I would advise for Emma because I occasionally make the terrible error of listening to these back.
Stuff.
Never do that.
Oh, I know. I'm just sort of got sat there going like, what on earth am I gibbering about? Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't recommend that.
I'm so glad there's not a camera because I'm doing so many hand movements while I'm trying to explain what I'm talking about.
Sure. Should we start from when you start recording again or when you come back from break?
Fine, dude. We'll do it live.
I'm just saying.
All right.
That's going to be fun to edit.
Yeah. This whole episode, dude. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. And of course, it's the one on Patreon that got voted as the one they want next. Well, guess what, kids? Oh, it ain't coming next. Apparently, his charging cable is buried. Because I can hear.
I don't know if you've seen Oliver's house, but. No, he's a really clean person. Actually, my house is way dirtier.
Oh, like, dude. My house is clean until you get to the third floor. Yeah. Daniel's been up there, so you like walk up and it's just like, Craig's like stepping over piles of
shit. You like clear off the table just to play a game. Just,
it's so bad. It's so bad. Every weekend, I'm like, I'm going to clean up here, and I end up doing something else.
Do you have more inventory than most game stores up there?
Oh, it's embarrassing. And what's worse, Daniel, is as much inventory as you see, like, on the third floor, it's a third. The other two-thirds is in the attic behind the door.
Is it also unbuilt, or?
Oh, most of it's sealed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and shit I'll never do. Like, I'll never touch. Yeah. And I don't know.
What I miss?
Nothing. We're just making fun of you.
Craig's trash pile. It's third floor.
Just models that you're never going to build.
Yeah.
So wrapped up last week. That's great.
Daniel made the comment, I have more inventory than most game stores.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Yeah. All right. I will start us off on round two. Give me one second.
Cool.
Bueno, dudes.
I had to resist chiming in about Soulstone Miners like the last 4 minutes.
Oh, God, it's such
Alphlink, it's a good scheme for Arcanist, really?
Yeah, really? Oh, really? That's good. Nice hot take. So halfway through my little speech about Euripides, I realized that you didn't play against Euripides, it was Matt. It's like, well, you're probably sitting there going, what the fuck is Craig talking about?
You can splash that into some tangent, Craig.
Oh, I'm going to make it editing magic to sound like it was like never happened. Are you kidding me? I'm an idiot. I just added to sound competent.
Oh, no, you didn't have to
do an aspect. So, yeah, no, I'll flip that over to my discussion with Matt, and people are going to be like, God, Craig's insight on Euripides is amazing. Yeah, the problem is I brought it up into an outcast versus outcast matchup. Tell you what, guys, the three of us have a pretty good groove.
Well, you know, we've been broadcasting to dozens of listeners for 2 years now.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is that when you get a third voice in there, sometimes things don't work, and I'm happy with how the three of us work together. I like it.
Well, I mean, and it's just Chris and I, like, I'll have to send you our first episode sometimes. It's not good. We kind of learned when to kind of shut up and stop talking over each other.
Yeah, well, but we did hit a nice groove by our third episode, because that's the We Hate Farmers episode.
Yeah.
Where I like bitched about the farmers being broken in Gilball. And by that one, then we had found a brand, right? Like that was the first epic rant that I went on. And that one, like, that will always be a top episode for us. If we're still working out kinks.
Besides our season 4 spoiler episode, we got Hunter's season 4 stuff, and we released it before anybody else did, which we got like something crazy, like 1,000 downloads right off the bat.
1,300. Don't sell us short.
But that farmers episode until that point was like our most downloaded episode, just because how funny it was.
That's funny. So like you need to listen to this. These fucking wackos.
Yeah. Put us on the map.
Oh, that's funny. All right. All right. So I'm going to bring it back, and James, we'll start with you. Okay.
Cool. That means I probably should have some idea what I did. Cool.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, shit, I made notes on this and left it downstairs.
It's okay. My notes are, you've missed me pointing out that my notes are in a different town. So,
No.
That's fine.
Just make it up. Just completely make it up.
Yeah, this is it. I'm just going to, I'll dip into some mild slander as well. So we'll test Greg's editing skills.
That's funny. All right.
Is your is that your cue to edit that out?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. Like it has inadvertently become like a visual cue when I'm editing.
Nice.
So I'll see. Yeah. I know exactly what that looks like. And when I'm editing, I'm like, I got to cut this one, or I effed up.
Yeah, I can see that in mind, but I do it with audio because obviously we don't have video format. But I'll see like a break or a spike or one that looks like an I'm like, okay, that's where we're editing that out.
I used to, I mean, I know what my ums look like when I'm editing, but I do it so often that I just
get trust me, Craig. I know from the episode we had John. I was like, God damn, Craig, how many?
I tried to be self-aware of it. No awareness whatsoever.
That's fine. We got you.
Where it's worse is when I'm GMing. Like, if you go listen to some of my live play stuff of me running the Star Wars games, like, it's effing painful.
Well, I think where I noticed it is the more prepared you are, the less you have it.
Yeah.
And then like when you were on ours, we didn't really have an agenda. So you were just kind of thinking off the top of your head, and there was a lot more because of that.
So do you guys want to hear, before we bring it back in, do you want to hear my Sophie's choice? Someone walks up to me and says, Craig, you could either make Soulstone Miners no longer exist, or spider swarms. What are you picking? Like, oh shit, that ain't easy, man. It was good, ladies.
One question for you.
Oh, God damn it, Owen, you're so fucking difficult.
Is the mic picking up my cat like losing his shit? Okay. All right.
No, I would have said something. You're good.
All right, cool. He's like, meow, meow.
Yeah. Yeah, have you tried feeding him? I've heard that's a thing.
All right, cool.
Like, to what?
All right, that was good. Did Chris come back?
I've been on here.
Yeah, you dropped for a little bit. But the good news is you're okay. Just like with
Zencastr is recording locally, so.
This is the worst part of Craig's show. This is where I hit my 30-second forward. Damn ads.
whatever, you should be listening and getting the promo codes and then being able to buy stuff.
When I do, like, Matt, like, eventually I'll do an order probably for Matt and something, and I'll probably use Craig's code, but.
I'd appreciate it if you did.
Yep.
But no, it's a lot of the same ads, so.
I get it.
But if you were a Patreon, you wouldn't have to listen to the fucking things.
That's fair.
All right. I'll bring us back.
Yeah.
What her limitations are. And it comes down to, like, when I'm approaching the pool. Like,
if you think in any way that makes me think, Robert, that swarms aren't stupid, then you're wrong.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I think that they're
stupid.
Ridiculous.
Next segment, you guys. I have no Shenlong players in my local meta, so
I have plenty to rant about.
All right, cool. And I also haven't played against very many spider swarms, so those two things, Craig.
Fuck those models. About that whole thing. I had a fucking question. I can't think what the fucking question was. I had it in my head. Fuck. It was a good one too. Right before we went to that other direction. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. All right, give me a second.
I can jump off of what Matt was saying about aggressor, defender.
Yeah. Yep. Go ahead and start fresh. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. No, I completely agree. So, Jim, welcome to the third floor.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh, God, I called you Jim. I'm going to try that again. one fucking name I wasn't supposed to say. All right. All right. Give me a second. Kevin, I want to start with you and kind of get your take on Gaining Ground Zero. Does that sound all right?
Are you good to start with Kyle?
That's sure. Okay?
Sorry.
Kevin, are you drunk
again?
It'd
just be better for me if that's okay. No, I'm definitely not. I'm not.
Yeah, I'll start with
Kyle. Are you sure?
I'll start with Kyle.
100% sure.
God, I hate Terra so much.
Yeah, dude.
Was that like your first time, John, really like seeing?
It was. Yeah. I saw a bit of it on the live stream. I didn't catch the entire game. And I still, you have to see it in person to understand what is about to happen.
You have to have very particular target selection, because if you just let certain models slip to turn 5, it's a free 3 to 4 point swing.
Yeah.
Like, you have to know what to kill.
There are moments when you go up against Tar where you're like, I got nothing. Like, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do to answer any of this bullshit.
That's what my entire game was.
The pass tokens are pretty big MP, but she wouldn't function without them.
Yeah.
I'm surprised I haven't seen more Yoko players playing like Brandon's talk about, where it's like, I've seen so many Yoko, like, every time I've seen Yoko, they're using the pass tokens for that lever, that the plus flips. Like, that seems like such a massive waste of that resource. Like,
that is pretty inefficient.
Busted. Like, activation control is busted.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually took her into a tournament this weekend and almost made one of my local players quit because he thinks Yoku is now the easy button. He just ripping his control hand apart. He had no control hand every turn.
Yeah.
Negative flips on everything. It was just bad.
You know, it's funny. I had that same experience at Nova, and I was ready to quit that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I still won it. I still won it. And the whole time I was like, I don't want to be here.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. The thing about her is that she's so different. And the first time you go up against her, you're like, what the hell is going on right now?
Yeah.
And you, as Malfo players, we are so reliant on our control hands. Like, we build everything around it. And you have something that can aggressively attack it like that, and that's brutal. All right. I'll bring us back for round 4. Well, that's it. I've got a ton of episodes already recorded and scheduled to kick off the next 100. Stay tuned for Insider Insights with the makers of Delta Green, published Malifaux writers and artists,
roundtables with people like Jamie Perkins, James Doxey, James Baldwin, Cody Hyatt, and several others. We've got deep dives lined up and recorded for Perdita, Reva, Von Schill. Lots of content still to go. Most importantly, you stuck around to the end? Thanks for listening to this and any of the other episodes. Take care. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch so you don't miss the avalanche of content we create. Links are in the show notes. Be sure to check out our shop on thirdfloorwars.com for the latest in gaming apparel and gear. There you'll also find the latest information for the U.S. Foe Tour. Find out where you rank in your conference or even in the entire United States. Get those models built, painted, and ready so we can see you at the next U.S. Foe Tour Masters event. Please take a moment to write a review of this pod on your favorite platform. Rating and reviewing helps us find more listeners almost as cool as you are. Be sure to share this feed with all of your friends who love tabletop gaming. Thanks for listening. Howdy folks, Craig here. Now if you love gadgets as much as we do, you're going to love the new Third Floor Wars gadget bundle from Schooner Labs. Branded with the logo of your favorite podcast, it comes with two measuring multi-tools, a compass stepper for those tight and important movements, along with a compact dashboard to track your turn, strat, and scheme scoring, along with your soul stones and pass tokens. It is the perfect bundle for anyone who plays Malifaux or just wants to look cool while doing it. The link is in the show notes. Check them out and help support your favorite gaming podcast.